This is plank number 27 of 32 of the platform of the System of Divine Metaphysics. You may be interested in listening to the two different introductions for this platform of 32 planks, and the buttons are next to the button for this recording. The text in prose format for this plank, entitled True Idea of Man, is as follows. The true idea of man as the reflection of the invisible God is as incomprehensible to the limited senses as is man's infinite principle. The invisible universe and material man are the poor counterfeits of the invisible universe and spiritual man. Eternal things, verities, are God's thoughts as they exist in the spiritual realm of the real. Temporal things are the thoughts of mortals and are the unreal, being the opposite of the real or the spiritual and eternal. The number one key point in the original text is as follows. The true idea of man as the reflection of the invisible God is as incomprehensible to the limited senses as is man's infinite principle. In Colossians 1:15, it refers to God as invisible. This is in total alignment with the statements in Divine Metaphysics that states that God is omnipresent. And God certainly couldn't be omnipresent if God were visible. The digits in mathematics are not visible. They can be written by anyone, anywhere in the world. But the numbers themselves are ideas. The whole concept of mathematics is omnipresent because it is ideas. It is not physical. Mathematics is metaphysical. And that's why the concepts of mathematics are universally omnipresent. God is not made up of matter. God is spirit. And therefore, we have to be looking through the lens of spirit if we're going to cultivate our understanding of what God is. The entire definition of God, as expressed on page 465 in the chapter entitled Recapitulation, and in chapter 17, which is entitled The Glossary, and is the section of the textbook which is key to the scriptures, both refer to qualities as being the way to describe God, and not physical characteristics. Einstein, who devoted his entire life to trying to figure out what the world was all about and the relationship within things within the world, and he became famous by discovering the formula for relativity. E equals mc squared is the mathematical expression. He makes this statement about science. Science without religion is lame. And he makes this statement about religion. Religion without science is blind. And he made this statement about Mary Baker Eddy and the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Blessed art thou, for everything that really is in this book. He even capitalized the word thou, as if he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy as thou, or perhaps he was referring to God, thanking God for the textbook. because Mary Baker Eddy does not take credit for the textbook. She states that she was a scribe under orders, under the orders of God. Either way, he is stating that the real facts about everything is included in the textbook. Here is the full text from 1 Colossians 15 from both the King James Version and the J.B. Phillips. The King James Version says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth." J.B. Phillips, "Now Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. He existed before creation began, for it was through him that everything was made." Now verse 26 in Genesis of the King James Version is on the homepage of the website, as will be what I just read to you tomorrow. In Genesis 1, starting with verse 26, states the following: "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And then in verse 31 it says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And of course, if you read on, it says the seventh day is the day of rest. Mary Baker Eddy defines Genesis chapter 1 not as what was created, but what was revealed. The first three words of Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning." And she interprets that from a spiritual sense to mean in the only. Think about truth. Does truth have any beginning or any end? Or does it change in between? If it's true, it does not change in between. And it's always been true and always will be true. That, of course, is thinking in a relative standpoint, because, in fact, there is no time. So, in other words, the record of creation in Genesis chapter 1 is really the record of revelation. Contemplate the first key point in verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Let, L-E-T. We must open consciousness to let it be revealed to us. Otherwise, we're not going to have the revelation that God did it. If we're going to have a closed thought about it, we would never accept anything that is in Genesis chapter 1. And remember, Genesis chapter 2 has that preface of verse 6, which says, "And there went up a mist." So the entire record of the history that includes Adam and Eve was in a mist. A mist where nothing could be clearly delineated. Also, be aware that Genesis chapter 2 was written before Genesis chapter 1. But the hand of God was in play and placed Genesis 1 first, so that we would understand what the truth is before the temptation to believe a false record is presented. And that's what we should always do. we should begin our day with stating the facts about God and man, not the fable, not the fantasy, not the untrue record. If what already has been stated in this recording makes sense, then the next key point will be understood to be obvious. It says, the visible universe and material man are the poor counterfeits of the invisible universe and spiritual man. Frederick L. Rawson was a true genius of a Christian Science practitioner and researcher and author. And in his book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, he lists 1,315 different ailments and gives the spiritual solution to each one of them. He says we should begin any treatment by stating that there is no, and then state what the ailment is titled. And then he says, immediately switch your thinking to stating what is true. And he generally begins with, man is spiritual. So you first of all state the problem, and then you say, but man is spiritual. In other words, there is no, and then whatever the problem is, and then man is spiritual. So that is in alignment with what the first sentence says, where the material problem is not real, by just stating there is no, and then following it by saying the opposite of it, and that is that man is spiritual. So man cannot be suffering from whatever a problem is, because that is unreal. Make the clear statement, there is no, whatever the problem is. The Scientific Statement of Being on page 468 states it very clearly. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. And you could substitute the word for whatever the problem is in place of the word matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. And then state the problem is mortal error. Spirit is a real and eternal. And then state the error is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God. And I, as an individual manifestation of man, am spiritual. Look at all the words in there and anything that relates to matter. Replace it with the words of what the problem is. And anything that talks about man, state that I am the individual manifestation of man, or an individual manifestation of man, and therefore I am whatever it says about man. And that has it applying to you, and it's negating whatever the problem is that is the topic. That can be a very effective assistant in bringing forth a healing, because you are placing firmly in your thought the wisdom of Shakespeare in the second quote at the beginning of the textbook. He says, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We need to make the clear statement that any problem, any evil, any injury, any accident is unreal. And that the truth is the spiritual facts that reverses the history, the record of whatever the problem is. We refute that error has power, and we affirm that truth is real. We know that error is not real, so its opposite has to be the reality, but we must state it. We must feed that into our thought. So the visible universe and material man are the poor counterfeits of the invisible universe and spiritual man. One of the unpublished things that was a conversation between John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, and Jesus, wherein John asked Jesus, is there a material body? And he also asked him, is there a material universe? And the answer is on our website. You can look it up in the menu. And the record of that is in a museum in the city of London, England, and it's under guard 24/7, 365. The third key point is as follows. Eternal things, verities, are God's thoughts as they exist in the spiritual realm of the real. Mary Baker Eddy defines life as being eternal. And this says eternal things are another word for verities. Something that is true is always true. It never changes. There's no deviation. A lie is what changes. Truth never changes. So, truth are God's thoughts. Eternal things are truth. That is God's thoughts, as they exist in the spiritual realm of the real. The fourth key point, and final, temporal things are the thoughts of mortals, and are the unreal, being the opposite of the real, or the spiritual and eternal. And that scientific statement of being refers to that. When it says there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is the real and eternal, and matter is the unreal and temporal. That scientific statement of being includes so many powerful concepts. It should be something that we state with meaning and understanding regularly. John Sinton is an advanced Christian Scientist, and he has the following comments on this plank number 27. It says, the true idea of man, which is the topic of the first paragraph, it says, who is the Christ embodiment and fulfillment of the Christ ideal? So the ideal man is the Christ embodiment and fulfillment of the Christ ideal. Science reflecting Christ also uncovers to our cognition the nature of the counterfeit as distinct from the real, the temporal as distinct from the eternal. This is in order that our categories may always be clear and demonstration facilitated. That's all of the comments that Mr. Sinton had about this particular plank. Mary Baker Eddy provided to her most advanced class, which was the one in 1898 of the Metaphysical College, 7 prayer treatments, one for each of the 7 synonymous terms for God. Since this is a focus, this number 27 is a focus on truth, The title again is True Idea of Man. I shall recite to you the prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy entitled Diapason of Heaven with a Focus on Truth. And that will conclude this prayer treatment. However, if there are any lingering thoughts that evolve, then I will add those to the end immediately after reciting the prayer treatment for truth. Truth is a sacred name for God. We must divest it of all materiality. Declare often, truth is my God, and my God is truth. Good is my truth, and my truth is good. Truth is enthroned in my consciousness. Error and materiality are not enthroned. This is the word of God. And yes, the thought did occur that it would be good to recite the definition of good, because this mentions good in this prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy. And we can find the definition of good in the glossary, chapter 17, on page 587. I shall read the definition of God, which is immediately preceding it first. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And another definition of God is on page 465. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And here's the definition of good on page 587. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresent, omniaction. If we think about omniaction and God being good, there can be no accident whatsoever. Because accident means that there's a conflict, there's a lack of balance, a lack of alignment with truth. And that can only be unreal, cannot be thought of as being real. Let's let the definition of God, and that God is all action, guide our thought, as Shakespeare recommends. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Let's let our thinking reflect the truth about man and the truth about God being all action. Amen. It is Monday, January 26, 2026, at 17:50. On the 24-hour clock. Thank you for listening. The end.